Dave, you're up first, though, with a look at Mars astronauts and how much radiation they might be exposed to on their way to the red planet.
That's right. So throughout science fiction, travelling to other planets comes up again and again. And last month, 80,000 people have applied to be part of a one-way trip to Mars, which is, of course, the most habitable of our near neighbours, even if it's not very habitable. Now, a mission would obviously be exceedingly expensive, but even if you could get past that hurdle, would the crew actually survive the experience?
Well, why wouldn't they survive the experience, first off?
Well, the problem is that space is continuously bombarded by high-energy particles. Some of these are coming from deep space, from other parts of the galaxy, but most of it's actually due to the sun's atmosphere being continuously blown off in what we call the solar wind. This is mostly high-energy protons and some other heavier ions which bash into your body and damage you like any other form of radiation would. This could cause cancer or, in extreme cases, radiation sickness or even death. On Earth, or even on the International Space Station, we're largely protected from this by the Earth's magnetic field, which kind of captures these particles and funnels them into the North and South Poles, where they don't do a lot of harm.
But if you head out towards Mars, you're obviously getting beyond the reach of the Earth's magnetic field, so you're bearing the brunt of the full force of that radiation.
That's right. And there have been various measurements on Earth, but no one's ever actually done the measurement on a trip to Mars. But luckily, the Mars Curiosity rover has just done this trip, and they put a radiation sensor on board, and you can convert that into the dose which an astronaut would get. And it comes out really quite high. There's two things to worry about. One is the kind of background level, and the other one is the peaks, which turn out to be up to 100 times higher, caused by solar storms. The radiation is 0.67 sieverts, which is about the equivalent of the highest dose of any of the radiation workers at Fukushima, and is a bit higher than the maximum dose NASA lets its astronauts take up over their whole career.
It's one astronaut career dose, isn't it? It's one sievert, right, give or take, and that's supposed to raise your cancer risk by between 3 and 5%, isn't it? And that's judged to be a worthwhile risk.
So we're either going to have to improve our ways of shielding astronauts from the radiation or somehow make that trip a lot quicker so they're not exposed to it for as long.
I looked it up, and I think the daily dose is equivalent to having a barium meal investigation in hospital on a daily basis. So it's quite high input of radiation. Can we do anything about that? You say new technology with better shielding. How easy is it to shield against the particles that have got the sorts of energies that they have out there in deep space?
It's actually very, very difficult because the particle has so much energy. Most shielding you put up actually makes the problem worse. One particle hit the shielding, then split up into five, then hit more shielding into 10,000s of particles. So you can actually make the problem a lot worse by kind of putting some shielding up. So either you're going to have an immensely thick layer of lead or do something much higher tech with some kind of electromagnetic fields, which will do a bit like the Earth's magnetic fields and protect you and somehow kind of dump it into some part of your spaceship which you don't care about.
So either way, if you do make the return trip to Mars, you're basically going to get a lifetime's dose of radiation just making the journey without taking into account what you might encounter on the surface of Mars. So it's a big problem.
So it's certainly going to be a big risk. Some people might be willing to take that risk, but I'm not sure I would want to.